Did you know? Yeah. Good evening, class. So this, it turns out that, by the way, is my the volume level okay? Not too loud.
A little loud.
Okay. We'll get our AV person on it right away. Something going on in the gym.
Basketball.
Right. It's got. Yeah. Okay, so tonight we are on part two of module 16. And that is in the Brown book. We are page 425. Oh, excuse me. That's the reading material. That's the reading material, okay. Right, 441. It always takes 10 minutes for the professor to get organized. Okay. Well, our scripture for this evening is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, which says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you and him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So, God, that means two things. One is that God is the one who has called you to this ministry, and God's power will help bring about healing, wholeness, and hope to your care receivers. As God works through you, your caregiving will bring glory to God. But also, just as Christ will care for people through people in your ministry, he will extend the same care in your supervision group. Each of you will experience the love of Jesus through your fellow Stephen ministers, and his love for you will come alive through the words and actions of the others in your supervision group. And you'll also be able to use the distinctively Christian caring tools that you've learned to use with your care receivers, such as praying with your fellow Stephen ministers, sharing the truth of Scripture, when Stephen ministers in your group become discouraged, you can help encourage them, and you will be a blessing to them, and they will be a blessing to you. So, let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are God incarnate, showing us who God is. Work in and through us to give our care receivers your healing love and help them trust you. Use our supervision groups to continue equipping us for the ministry you have given us. Thank you for all the people who share your love and care with us, just as we share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So what we're going to do is, this evening is split into three parts. The first part, we're going to talk about focus questions. Second part, we're going to talk more about confidentiality, and how to do that, how to try to keep confidentiality in your supervision group of your care receiver. And we talked a little bit about that last time. And then thirdly, we're going to try and do some practice. We always practice, as they say. All right, well, first let's take a look at the focus questions. And the focus questions are, Ah, here they are. So this is slide 3. And Steve, if you could move to slide 3. So during peer group supervision, you will use focus questions to guide your discussions during the in-depth supervision of caring relationships. Now, you read in your pre-class reading about those focus questions, but now we're going to take a closer look at how to use them. So first, let's talk about how you choose focus questions, and then we'll practice actually choosing some. So in focus note 1 on page 441, why don't we have people read the different steps? Tayo can read step 1.
How to choose focus questions. Step 1. At the end of the in-depth report, the student will start telling the group which focus question he or she thinks the most helpful.
Okay. Sweetie, would you read step 2, please? Okay, Carol, step 3.
The supervision group facilitator helps the group choose a focus question to start with. Sometimes, supervision group facilitator will let the student minister decide which question to start with. Other times, the group will make that decision together.
And then step 4. Okay, so we're going to watch a video of the in-depth report that we saw last time. Just one little clip of it.
Now, Mary, you had mentioned a couple focus questions as possible starting points. I think you.
Is the podium in the way of anybody?
Okay. Set A. A 10C and number 4 in set D.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else have any other ideas or suggestions for focus questions?
I really like that second question that Mary put out there. It seems she has a bunch of different feelings about the caring relationship. Mm-hmm. So that could be a good one to start with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other ideas or suggestions?
Maybe set C number 2. What expectations do you have for the direction of the caring relationship, and where do those expectations come from?
Yeah, or how about set B, number 9, in what ways do you seek to be the caregiver and let God be the cure giver?
Yeah, I like both of those. I think we've got a good group of questions to choose from, so Mary, where would you like to start? And keep in mind, we can always come back to these other ones later.
Well, since Jenny and I both like number 4 of set D, why don't we start with that?
Yeah, sounds good. Just as a reminder, that is, what are your thoughts and feelings about how the caring relationship is developing? Mm-hmm. Mary?
I was tripped on this. okay, so these folks, they picked out questions pretty quickly, but that's because they're experienced and they're very familiar with them. So we will get there at some point, okay? But let's take a look at focus note 2 on page 442. And that's essentially what that is the cover page of the focus question set booklet. By the way, does everybody have this booklet? Okay. So let's just take a few seconds to read through that. Okay. So these essentially, so the way this booklet is set up is, of course, these color-coded bars on the cover are the categories. And then within each category is a list of questions that relate to that particular category. So when trying to decide on a focus question, obviously, first step is to pick out which category is most relevant to the issue at hand. And then once you figure out the category, then of course go to that section and try and figure out a good question. All right, so let's, so focus note 3 on pages 443 and 444 are the, so we're going to practice picking the questions. So let's take a look at number 1 on focus note 3. So the question says, and these are, by the way, these are snippets from, you know, what would normally be an in-depth report. Number 1, I really think I can help my care receiver. We met for 2 hours last Thursday, and I was able to share at least a dozen good ideas. If only my care receiver would try my suggestions, I think the situation would improve. All right, which is the focus question set that you think would be most relevant? Okay. Okay. That's good. Yeah, that's you actually hit the. That's what the suggestion is set A. And number there are two. Number 10. Two other questions. Anybody else that might be relevant within set A? Yep, that's right. What's going well for you and your care receiver in terms of boundaries, and what areas might you and your care receiver be struggling with boundaries? Okay. And they suggest one other one. Any ideas? Yes. I'm sorry, that's you're going to a different set?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're just going to do one set. In other words, the idea of these practices is not to make them overly complicated. So we're going to just basically choose, you know, what seems to be the best set for this particular situation. And then within that set, what are the two or three questions that would probably be most useful?
Did you say 9?
Yes, 9 is also good. What expectations do you and the care receiver have for the caring relationship? How might those expectations be affecting the relationship? Now, by the way, this is not necessarily correct answers, okay? I mean, the answers that they suggest are obviously relevant, but there could be other things that are relevant also. So don't feel like you have to come up with the perfect choice. A lot of times, even if it's not necessarily completely relevant, it will often lead to things that are relevant, because the person that's receiving that's doing the in-depth report, you know, has a certain issue in mind, and so he or she is going to kind of naturally redirect, you know, the conversation towards those particular things that he or she is really focused on. So if you don't choose the perfect question, it's okay. All right, number 2. I'm supposed to be a Christ-centered caregiver, but I don't really see God in what I've been doing. All I do is listen. We never pray or read the Bible. I'd like to see my care receiver's life more focused on God. All right, which category do you think would be best fit that? B as in boy, is that? Yeah, that's correct. Okay. Yeah, that's what they suggest. Okay, within B, what are some questions that would seem to be most relevant? I'm sorry? Number 9? Okay. In what ways do you seek to be the caregiver and let God be the caregiver? Yep, number 10. In what ways might you need to trust God in your caring relationship right now? And they suggest two more out of that set. Yeah, number 2 and number 3. Number 2, how do you convey Jesus' love through your words and actions? And 3, how are you praying for yourself, your care receiver, and the caring relationship? Okay. By the way. Right. Okay. All right, moving on. Number 3. My care receiver is still hurting from the loss of his wife, but more and more he's looking forward to the future. He's made a lot of progress during the 10 months we've been together. And Carol, yes, you said C. That's what they suggest as well, okay? And they suggest 4 different questions from the set. From the set of C. Yes, 9 is one of them. What indications do you see that it may or may not be time for closure? Where is the relationship going? How might it be changing or need to change? Okay. Okay. Now, what conversations have you or your care receiver had about closure? How have those gone? Yeah, we said 9, right?
14.
Yes, 14. What thoughts do you have about the process, time frame, and goals for closure? And 2 others. Yes, number 4. What are your thoughts about how long the caring relationship might last? What factors may affect that? And then they also suggest number 12. How might you bring up the possibility of closure with your care receiver? How might you involve your care receiver in planning for closure? All right, number 4. The last time I visited my care receiver, she was so down that she hardly said anything. Her home is usually very neat, but that day it was a complete mess. It seems like things are getting worse, and I'm not sure how to help. Which category do you think? Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I was going to say it. I mean, G seemed to be more relevant to me, but that's not what they say. You thought H, huh?
Yeah. Because number 2.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that's what they say. They suggest H. So number 2, it would be, yeah, it would be definitely be relevant. Have you noticed any of the following from your care receiver? Reduced ability to cope with daily life. Okay. Yep, 7. How might you talk to your care receiver about a mental health referral? Anybody else? Yep, that's true. They list 4 as well. What type of mental health resource might be appropriate in this situation? And 5. How might the care receiver respond to your suggestion of a mental health referral? And then they also suggest number 1. Based on the referral form you received from the referrals coordinator, how would you have expected your care receiver to be doing by now? Okay. Okay, number 5. I'm frustrated with my care receiver. I don't know exactly why, but every time I get ready to visit him, I just start feeling really tense. I've heard D and I've heard F. More hands for D? Okay, hands for F? Okay. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yeah, so I think more questions probably would come from D in this case. Questions within D that might be helpful. Okay. Specifically, what part of number one? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, six is they suggest that. No, they don't mention four. I think the focus, they don't mention two. I think the focus is on Anyways, I mean, there's not necessarily any, as I said, there's not they're all good questions. So it's like, okay, why do they choose one and not the other? Okay. They suggest 3, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Okay, let's move on. Number six, my care receiver and I really seem to connect, but we don't have the same understanding of what the care relationship should be. I know we should be meeting in person, but sometimes my care receiver seems content to just talk over the phone or by text. Which category set do you think? Okay. Well, actually, I think so they suggest A, which is the caring relationship. But honestly, C is also on the direction of the caring relationship. I think there's probably some overlap in those two. But let's, according to their recommendations in set A, they suggest questions 2, 9, 11, and 12. 2, what is challenging about your caring relationship? 9, what expectations do you and the care receiver have for the caring relationship? 11, what's going well for you? What areas might you or your care receiver be struggling with boundaries? 12, how much does your care receiver value meeting in person regularly? So, yeah, I think C is more, it has a lot of questions about closure. It seems like C is more about the process. Well, that's quite true. So as you become more familiar with this booklet, you can pick and choose. You're not limited to one category. Okay, number, what did I just, we're on seven, okay, thank you. I feel so bad for everything my care receiver is going through. Sometimes I can't tell who's crying more during our meetings, me or my care receiver. Oh my goodness. Yes, D is correct. 3, yes. In the mud hole. Also, they suggest 6, 8, and 9. Yeah, 6, what strong or difficult emotions do you feel about your care receiver during caring visits? 8, how have you expressed your feelings about the caring relationship to the care receiver? And 9, how are your feelings about the caring relationship affecting your caregiving? Okay. Last one, number 8. I can't seem to get my care receiver to talk about her feelings. We spend most of our time on small talk and never get to the real issues. I'm not sure what to say or do to help her open up. Okay, it seems like I have more. Carol, I'm so sorry.
I didn't say a word this time.
Oh, I thought you were the one. I thought I heard you.
No, I'm staying out. Everybody else is right.
you know, you just happen to know the book better than everybody else, that's all. Okay, I think, E is what they suggest, the Stephen minister's skills. And within that category, number two, what caring skills do you use most often with your care receiver? Which ones are strengths for you? Which ones might you need to work on? Number three, how well do you listen to the care receiver and gain a picture of his or her thoughts and feelings? Give some examples. Number four, how are you doing with being fully present with your care receiver, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? In what ways can you be more present? Number eight, when are you most tempted to share platitudes, cliches, or fix-it responses? What can you do to resist that temptation? And number 10, in what situations have you been assertive with your care receiver, and what types of situations could you be more assertive? Okay. So, all right, we managed to fly through those. That's good. So, slide six, Steve on the screen. So the next step after choosing focus questions is to use them. Focus questions will help you define and begin the in-depth discussion, but you are not limited to them. Okay? Again, they're tools to help you. They're not straitjackets. Once the conversation gets going, allow it to develop and flow naturally, asking your own follow-up questions to dig deeper into the issues. And then, when it's time to shift the discussion to a new topic, the facilitator might ask for suggestions of a different focus question to explore another issue the Stephen minister is facing. Slide 7. So now we're on page 445, focus note 4. Now we're shifting to a new topic now. By the way, it's regarding the focus questions. It probably would be helpful to really just, you know, read through these very carefully and just, you know, kind of get a sense of, do I understand why this question is in this category, for example, and how many of them. Because they're, you know, whether the organization makes sense to you, okay? It may be that there is a question from a different category that you think, maybe that would be better somewhere else, or maybe, you know, you could use the same, you know, that question from a different category in the same, you know. So anyways, the more familiar you are with what's in here, the more experimenting you can do with it. Okay, so now we're going to go to the topic of confidentiality and specificity in supervision. The purpose of this is to try to, and this is one of the reasons why I'm presenting this tonight, is because I'm an economist. I get to talk about two hands. Okay, on the one hand, we have the need for confidentiality, and then on the other hand, we have the need for specificity. You have to be able to be specific enough so that your supervision group can actually help you. And so we're going to talk about how do you balance those two goals. So in focus note 4, can I have somebody read the confidentiality paragraph? Sandra. Thank you. So when it comes to the basic rule of confidentiality, remember that the care receiver has given the Stephen minister permission to participate in supervision. So as part of the process of, you know, okay, this is Stephen ministry, this is what we're going to do, where, you know, that's explained to the care receiver. And I forget, Karen, does the caregiver do that explanation, or is that going to be done in the intake? Okay, it's done in the intake, but the caregiver reinforces it, especially at the first meeting, I would assume. Okay. Right. Okay. So the care receiver has given the Stephen minister permission. So the care receiver knows that, you know, something will be discussed. But that everybody else in the group is also bound by confidentiality. In addition, the care receiver knows that the supervision is about helping the Stephen minister to provide the highest quality care, which requires some sharing about their care and relationship. But that's, and of course, that's where the need for specificity comes in, because the Stephen minister will need to share enough depth for the group to understand what's going on. Focus note 5 on page 445. The goal of Stephen ministry supervision is for Stephen ministers to help one another provide the best possible care for their care receivers. And so focus note 6 kind of illustrates that with a diagram, which is that, you know, both specificity and confidentiality are needed to give quality care. Slide 9. So confidentiality and specificity in practice. So a good way to think of what you're trying to do is you want to go deep enough that you provide enough detail for good supervision to happen, but not so deep as to share extraneous identifying details. Don't get too hung up on this, okay? In the sense of the purpose of the supervision group is to improve the quality of the care for whoever's receiving the in-depth, okay? The rest of the members of the supervision group, their primary role is not to be the sheriff. You know, like pointing fingers like, uh-oh. You know, Karen just shared something she shouldn't have. You know, we got to publicly, you know, say that. Instead, we're all going to basically trust each other, okay? If somebody, you know, shares too much, then it would probably be the role of the facilitator to afterwards, you know, say, hey, you know, I think maybe we could have, you know, been a little bit more general. But I don't want anybody to be too self-conscious about, uh-oh, you know, in other words, you know, sitting there for 10 seconds and thinking to yourself, okay, do I share this? Is this appropriate or not? I mean, it's good to think before you speak. I mean, that's always a good principle, right? But we also don't want to go too far the other way where we're so afraid of saying anything that, you know, the whole process kind of breaks down. Okay. All right, so focus note 7 on page 447 offers a number of suggestions on how to balance confidentiality and specificity during supervision. So take a minute and go ahead and read focus note 7. Okay. All right, so does anybody have any comments or questions about any of these? They all seem to be fairly good advice, right? Yeah, and if you know, of course, you know, I think probably the best thing to do, obviously, is that if you're the person giving, you know, that the in-depth is about, then you can obviously be thinking ahead of time before you even come, what, you know, how you're going to talk about it, and it might be good to kind of, you know, have an idea as to, you know, how to try to present it, without, you know, and yet still be general. So that at least that will help. A lot of potential problems will be headed off that way.
And also, you'll have filled out that in-depth sheet, you know, with a couple sentence answers for each question, so you'll have time to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, that's good. Yeah, and that's exactly right. The sheets that you write out, of course, also help you to do that. Okay, so going to Focus Note 8, page 447. A very helpful question to ask yourself. Do the members of my supervision group need to know this specific detail in order to understand the situation and provide me with the support and guidance that I need? So if the answer is yes, and it will often be yes, okay, then by all means share that detail to provide the right level of specificity. But if you can't answer yes to the question, then, you know, then don't share. So, you know, again, there's an element of judgment here. And so, you know, we'll just get better at it as we practice it. Also helpful is to remember the hierarchy of concentration. Focus note 9. I lost the page number. 448. Okay. Thank you. So this kind of explains, you know, this also helps to with the issue of confidentiality and specificity. That first of all, most of the time, number one, most of the time focus on the quality and effectiveness of the caring relationship itself. Number two, then the focus should be on the Stephen minister, the Stephen minister's role in the caring relationship. And number three, when necessary, focus on the care receiver's specific situation and needs. So that basically, that helps with the confidentiality part of it because you know, most of the emphasis is going to be on the relationship and on the Stephen minister's role, and then only as much of the care receiver situation as is necessary to kind of help the group understand the picture. Okay, slide. Okay, that was, yeah, there you go, number 10. Okay. All right. And then we run through a whole bunch of slides, which I think I just glossed over. Talking about avoiding the extremes, slide 13, and which should be fairly self-evident. Oh, good point. Good point. Okay. So slide, go to slide 10. Oh, this is slide 10, excuse me. Sorry. Focus question, okay, so yes, this is also helpful. In the focus question sets, categories A, B, and C is on number one of the hierarchy of concentration, which is the focus on the caring relationship. And then the next slide. number two, the focus on the Stephen minister, is the categories D, E, and F of the focus questions. And then finally, the focus on slide 12, the focus is on the care receiver, that's question sets G and H. So that's also the way that they've organized the focus questions, is according to that hierarchy of concentration. And going to focus note 10, slide 13, page 449, you know, if you overemphasize or underemphasize either of the confidentiality or specificity, then the quality of care is disjointed. All right. And slide 14, exercising grace. This is what I've already talked about, which is that we're going to, within your supervision groups, you'll extend a great deal of grace to one another. And that means you'll trust that every group member has the best interests of the care receivers in mind, and you'll give each other the benefit of the doubt. And the rest of the group will avoid responding as confidentiality enforcers. All right. Okay, slide 15 and focus note 11 on page 450, the confidentiality firewall. So small group peer supervision has a built-in confidentiality firewall in that every Stephen minister in the supervision group is bound by confidentiality. This means that even if someone in a supervision group does happen to figure out the identity of someone else's care receiver, confidentiality remains intact because the Stephen minister keeps it to him or herself and doesn't divulge any of that information. In other words, anything said in supervision stays in supervision. So the final thoughts, focus note 12. Go ahead and take a minute to read focus note 12. So the key in focus note 12, of course, is that our top priority is the bottom bullet. Our top priority at all times is providing the highest quality care for the care receiver. And that brings us to a break, which should be how many minutes? Run around the room and warm up, right? That reminds me, Krista. I have heard that in Phoenix, where it gets to be over 110 degrees outside, that office workers commonly wear sweaters to work because they crank the AC up so high in the buildings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, does she? Okay. All right, everybody, and if I can have your attention. Yeah, I'm going to add my cell phone number to this roster list. And so if you're ready, my number is... I'm at the bottom, right above Susan Payne. And the number is 240... 475-2707. Yes, 2707. And that is a cell phone. And the reason that's important for, if you call our home number and nobody answers, it's because we typically listen, we check the number on the little on the phone first. The what?
Caller ID.
I couldn't remember what to call it. And then so if you have to leave a voicemail message, please do on that home phone. That does not mean that nobody's home. Okay, just means that we're avoiding telemarketers. But that's also why I'm giving you my cell phone number as well. And unfortunately, for some reason, my lovely wife does not believe in carrying a cell phone with her. Oh, yeah. Okay, yes, marital discord here. Okay. Okay. Now, so what we're going to do is we're going to actually practice a supervision session. And we're going to split you up into two groups as we would in a, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, so 7 in each. So write down this group here. This group over here, if you would, put your chairs in a circle so that you all can talk to each other. Now, what I want you to do is we'll have two of you volunteer to do an in-depth, okay? But everybody else will just simply read their check-ins. I'm going to be facilitator. Okay.